Hello, Untangling audience. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Welcome back to another episode. What have I been up to? Staying busy at work, planning my next move, because when I initially started off in healthcare, I had a five-year plan on where I wanted to be, and that 5 years is coming up in January. The good news is, at work, no issues, everything's going good. It's one of those positions that I could probably sit comfortably as long as I continue to work hard for another 5 years. And getting promoted, could it happen? Absolutely. However, right now it is a employee's market, like I've always told the Untangling audience. So I personally feel that if you're not networking, just seeing what's out there, even though if you're extremely comfortable, you're doing yourself a disservice. Because what's happening right now in America is a lot of people have left the labor force and they're not coming back. They're not coming back for a few reasons. One is childcare. The other one is just the cost of commuting. And the third option is, and a lot of people haven't talked about this, but the internet is so much more advanced. And it's almost like it's becoming more and more advanced with every day that goes by, that people have figured out a way to create side hustles or legit enterprises by simply finding internet companies such as Uber, Lyft, Amazon. There are people who have actually branched out into what we call Web3. And Web3 is extremely complex, but Web3 is simply just the next phase of the internet. So if you can remember when the internet started, it started up as a dial-up modem. For all of you listening, you probably remember getting that AOL CD, and it was almost like you won the Willy Wonka golden ticket. You couldn't believe it when you looked in that mailbox and you saw a AOL CD, and you're like, wow, I'm on. I can't believe this. And I'll never forget my first experience. So I get the AOL CD. I have this Sony desktop because there was no such thing as a laptop. This is early 90s. And I have this Sony desktop, and it was really, really nice. And the way I was able to get it was, I want to say at the time I was working at Circuit City, and the employees at Circuit City, we got amazing discounts. It's probably one of the reasons they're no longer in business. So we got an amazing discount, and I got this Sony TV desktop that was on sale during Black Friday. So I want to say I paid like $600 for it back then, which is a lot of money, still a lot of money today. However, compared to computers now, you could get a Google Chrome, I want to say, for $199, and it's a million times faster than the Sony that I had. And I want to say the sticker price was well above $1,500, but with the discounts, Black Friday, I was able to get a bargain on it. Maybe it was around $600 to $800, if I remember correctly. And so I get this on Sony, and I get my AOL CD, and I put it in, and it literally takes probably 4 to 5 hours for this thing just to download the AOL symbol onto your desktop. Once you got that AOL symbol, it looked like a little guy running. You would then click on it, and it actually, there was the first part I wanted to see was like a triangle, then there was a little guy running when you connected to the modem, and then you would connect, and you'd have to wait to get online. The first time I got online, I went to a chat room, and I just put in, my name is Charles, I'm in Boston, Massachusetts, and somebody wrote, hey, my name is, and I'm in Minnesota, and my mind was blown. And I think I talked about this on a previous episode, where I'm communicating with a stranger from Minnesota. I couldn't believe it. The issue we had was, okay, it is extremely slow, and then you kind of get addicted to the chats. And so part of the chat room, you start meeting people from all over the country. And then the more people started buying computers, there were local chats. So you got a chance to talk with some of the people in your town. So it's almost like Facebook, before Facebook. But I say all that because it started off as a dial-up, and then you just kind of saw slowly but surely the speed increasing. And so then you're able to start downloading music, which was mind-blowing to me because my whole life, I either purchased a tape or I would purchase CDs. And now I could download this thing right onto my computer. The possibilities were endless. And so you saw it kind of starting to speed up. And we all know where it went from there, where you basically had like, was it pets.com? Maybe they're still around. They had some high-flying, crazy name companies. We all know how that ended. But I say that because now, with the internet and technology, people have figured out, you know what? I could go to the Facebook Marketplace and just go to a thrift store, pick up items, sell them above price, make a purchase. Guess what? Right there, you're operating a legit business. Other people, what they figured out is you could go work for Uber. You could go work for Lyft. You could work for Bot-Out. I want to say it was Postmate. Another company that you could actually go work for is Amazon. They offer all kinds of, if you want to be an independent driver, if you have your own warehouse that you could store Amazon items in. And so because of this gig economy, a lot of people aren't coming back to these positions. So the possibilities are endless. And it goes for the low-level positions as well. And what I mean by low-level is simply anything you got to do at the beginning part of your career to start your career. Now, those are, in some cases, people will start at that. They get idea, branch off, start their own little companies. So a lot of people aren't coming back, and you have to be networking. Come hell or high water, it is important that you start to network. So I've started the networking process. And again, I'm in a really good situation, but it's just good to see what's out there. Case in point, we had a product manager and who I thought would be a lifer at our organization. She told us a little while back, you know what? A company reached out. They said that they would double my salary. It's an offer I can't turn down because of my family's predicament right now. And she ended up leaving. Another person who ended up leaving was a person who was with the organization for 20 years. And a lot of people felt like this is a person who's next up to be VP. Gave a notification, hey, you know what? I'm giving my 2 weeks notice. Best of luck. And also in my field, in the insurance field, there's like an unwritten rule. And one of those unwritten rules is simply no vacations during AEP, which is the annual enrollment period. And the other one is no vacations during OEP, the open enrollment period. And most importantly, nobody would leave during that time because of the planning that goes into it, the bonuses that are tied to the end of the year. Now, bonuses, people are just like, what AEP? What OEP? I got an offer. I got to do what's best for my company. Not my company. I got to do what's best for me. And they're taking offers elsewhere. So it's definitely the employee economy. One of the problems right now that we're having, and this is the United States as a whole, is the Fed is increasing rates. And again, that's to cause turmoil. And it's supply versus demand. I went over that in a previous Untangling episode. But one of the things that they didn't account for is people losing their jobs and finding another job within days. So for an employee, that is a great problem to have. However, for the feds, it's not a great problem. And this might sound harsh. However, when you lose your job, demand stops because now you got to focus. Okay, I got to pay my mortgage or rent. I got to make the car payment. Can't afford insurance payment. So that's on the back burner. Don't have health insurance. That's on the back burner. Could we afford COBRA health insurance? So that's a conversation you have within your family. And right now, people are losing their jobs and finding a job literally 3 days later. To test this out, I said, there's no way. And I went on LinkedIn. I saw a position. I applied for it. And sure enough, It was simply, we would like to talk. And I'm just dumbfounded. Before the networking would start, and then it was roughly around 6 months to maybe a year until you really started getting the interviews, getting the callbacks. I remember a time where you would submit an application, and before you even hit submit, you would get a notification saying, we found a more qualified candidate. And so it is just crazy times for the untangling audience. If you're not networking, especially depending on your age, because they always say, make hay while the sun is still shining, you definitely have to see what's out there and do what's best for you and your family. And what's best for you and your family might simply be staying exactly where you are. So what else is in the news? What else is in the news is quiet quitting. Quiet quitting became famous because there was a TikToker who brought attention to this, and it simply went viral. The first time I heard about quiet quitting was a friend sent a text in regards to an article about quiet quitting. And I kind of thought I understood what it was, but you really have to read in between the lines to understand what it truly is. And what quiet quitting has done is it's created a divide between millennials and the boomers. And what I mean by that is with the baby boomers, millennials call them boomers, Gen Z calls them boomers. It's kind of an insult. With the boomers, it was strictly staying late in the office. Where do you need me to go? How early do you need me to be there? Just being the ultimate work warrior. Hey, I have a family. Who cares? I'll be here on a Saturday and a Sunday to make sure I show up and show everybody what a company person I am. And so the boomers would simply, they would work and work and work because it's how they were brought up. It's how their parents brought them up. You never quit on an organization, son. No matter how bad times get, you hang in there. You work hard. And that organization and that company, they will reward you. That was the messaging from a lot of people in my father's generation and prior. And how that changes with quiet quitting, it's simply whatever your job detail says, you don't do one more task above that job detail. So if your job details, let's just say you're a personal banker and your hours are from 9 to 5, you show up at 9 and you leave at 4:59. If a personal banker, it says you get a lunch from 12 to 1, you take your lunch from 12 to 1, not a minute earlier, not a minute later. Any extra projects, the quiet quitters, they're not interested. And quiet quitting, what really makes it fascinating is it's on the lower levels of an organization to the higher levels of an organization. So a lot of times to rise through the ranks within an organization, you have to go across other departments. It's called cross-functional collaboration. And there's a lot of other names for it. But quiet quitting is, it's not in my department. I don't know what goes on over there, and I'm not going to educate them on what goes on over here. Partnering, raising your hand to take on more tasks, the quiet quitter is not trying to hear it. So here are the pros for quiet quitting. The pros for quiet quitting is millennials have really found a way to take corporate initiatives and expose it for what it is. Quiet quitting, if you think about it, it's simply just work-life balance. Every company preaches that. We want you to have work-life balance. If you go watch your daughter in a Little League baseball game or your son in a swim competition, we don't want you to be on that laptop. Work-life balance. And then with that work-life balance, you'll always have an eager leader trying to get through the ranks where I'm going to pull everybody together. I'm going to push the team so that way we can all excel. That leader is going to have a lot of problems because the world has changed. When I was getting my master's degree, a class that I found extremely fascinating was how do you manage all the different generations, from the baby boomer to the millennial to Gen Z to Gen Y, and the list keeps going. And one of the conclusions from the class is you cannot manage them the same way. What motivates a baby boomer will not motivate a millennial. The way a baby boomer looks at the world, a millennial does not look at that the world in that same perspective. So how do you manage the different classes of generations? And it was just a fascinating class because this was way before baby boomers and millennials really started to kind of butt heads, where you see the way it used to be compared to the way it's going to be, just at a fork in the road. So with quiet quitting, baby boomers are outraged because they just feel like the millennials, they cry. If you don't hand them things, they will complain. If they have to work hard, they will get up and leave the job before doing so, which is not a fair assessment. But to a baby boomer, if all you know is working hard, sacrificing your family, sacrificing your personal time to be that company person, and now you kind of see millennials and Gen Z simply saying, you know what, there's so much more than this organization. And with all the opportunities that are out there, I really don't need this place. It's two foreign ways of thinking. And so now we're seeing it start to clash. And with quiet quitting, I mean, I'm on LinkedIn. It's all over LinkedIn. And the millennials feel like, wow, look how far these corporations would go to literally market quiet quitting, which is something that millennials don't feel exists. They just feel like, hey, we're doing what we signed up to do. And the corporations, the millennials feel that the corporations are really making a huge push to kind of bash millennials and Gen Z for this way of thinking. When the millennials are like, you know what, your advertising dollars could be spent better elsewhere. So if you haven't heard of quiet quitting, you're going to hear a lot more in regards to it. And it is just a fascinating subject, to say the least. So what else have I been up to? So the other day I was flipping through Netflix and I just said, you know what, I just need something to watch what I'm doing on my work, something in the background. And I'm on Netflix and it says, you know, you might like Selling OC. And I'm like, let me give this thing a shot. So I put it on. It opens up. They're in a $100 million mansion in Laguna Beach overlooking the ocean. And this $100 million house, at the top floor, if the stars are out, you could open the roof and you could look at the stars. And what's so fascinating about this show is A, just the color schemes. It's bright, so it's alive. A lot of shows these days, they're so dark, it's so hard to get through them. With the shows today, you know, a main character is going to die, something bad is going to happen, you got to pay attention. If you don't, with Selling OC, you don't need to pay attention. It's right where you left off. And the people on it are so fascinating. So it is probably 90% women selling real estate in LA. And you have two office guys along with the two twin owners. And when I tell you everybody on this show is a model, it would be an understatement. So I'm kind of torn because they call it reality TV, but it's all scripted. It's all data driven. So they know what to say, when to say it to keep the audience engaged. Let's be real, reality TV is big business. Reality TV is such big business that Donald Trump ran and became president off of it. Because you had a lot of people tuning into The Apprentice, watching Donald Trump, saying that would be a great candidate to lead a country. Look at his business acumen. Look at how he treats those employees. That's the guy I'm going to go to a booth and vote for to be president. Because I'm watching him on reality TV. I mean, we're literally living in crazy times. There's no other way to put it. So with selling OC, it's so petty. And you could just kind of tell people who grew up with money compared to people who didn't. Because the people who didn't, what they'll do is they'll buy a $300,000 Ferrari. Whereas any wealthy person in their right mind, the math would make sense in regards to purchasing a car like that. Same reason why buying a $100 million house doesn't make any sense to generational wealthy people. So selling Sunset, and again, just my background in the loan industry, working with a lot of realtors, it's fascinating because I could see a lot of people just simply quitting their careers to say, I'm going to move to Laguna Beach. There's another one called Selling Sunset. I'm going to move to LA and I'm going to sell $20 million houses. Because the show loves to show you the $20 million houses, and then they close it and you see that $300,000 payout. And you see the person leave in a brand new 2023 Range Rover. So if you love money, if you love shallowness, this is the show for you. I like to watch it because I love people's behaviors. Same reason why I'm really into a show called Mindhunters, where it follows like serial killers, human behaviors. To me, this is really no different. It's the other side of the spectrum on what greed does to people, what money does to people. And I'm watching this and I truly feel sorry for a lot of these actors and actresses. And a lot of them are. You could just tell, like, you know, their careers didn't go where they wanted to. So this might be a last-ditch effort. With reality TV, so much is hidden from the public. You just don't know what's real, okay? But what we do know, it's not real, but they call it reality TV. And an interesting fact about reality TV, the reason why it's so popular amongst networks, and I learned this in college when I was getting a communications and journalism degree. The reason why it's so famous and why so many networks hold on to reality TV, such as HGTV, it's because it's zero overhead, okay? And what I mean by zero overhead is with the actors and actresses, clearly zero doesn't mean zero. You're probably able to pay them, what, $50,000 to a max of maybe $100,000 an episode? I mean, who wouldn't sign up for that? However, you're seeing TV shows disappear because if you remember the show, and it was called, what was the name of that show with Michael J. Fox? It's slipping my mind here. Let me look it up here, actually. And I know a few of you are probably well ahead of me in regards to the name of that TV show. So the name of the TV show was, let me see here, Family Ties. Wow, that had to be the longest in podcast history for somebody to look something up. Family Ties. And Leonardo DiCaprio, he actually appeared on a few soap operas. Today, it would cost a lot of money to bring that kind of talent onto a TV show site. So what these networks have figured out is, why bring Michael J. Fox? Why bring in Leonardo DiCaprio? Why bring in a young Denzel? What's his name there? Fishburne for The Matrix and also Boys in the Hood. A lot of people don't know, he got his start in Pee-wee's Playhouse. I used to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse growing up as a kid, and Lawrence Fishburne, he was actually the mailman. So if you didn't learn anything, you're learning something today. And these networks have figured out, why would we bring on? Look at Friends. What did they all want? $1 million an episode? Jerry Seinfeld? They all wanted $1 million an episode. Curb Your Enthusiasm. What were they paying them? At least $500 to $1 million per episode. Sopranos. Those days are gone. Okay. What you do is you have a show on Netflix like Selling the OC. You get very attractive models and you are going to get the viewership. The other thing you're going to get from this show is you're going to have a lot of people sitting at home saying, I could sell that $20 million house. I could sell that $100 million house. I could sell that $75 million house. On that $75 million house, my paycheck would be $700,000. And then people start thinking, like, why would I be working a minimum wage job when I could go to California and make it? So this show sells a lot of false hopes. And there are just so many episodes where you just cannot stop laughing. For me, one episode is when you meet this one main character, his name is Gio. his mother comes in. And once you meet his mother, it all clicks. Okay, this is where it all started. This is the family gene. This is why this guy's in this business. And then you have the young guy and the wife with the twin daughters. And the wife with the twin daughters is like, listen, we need you at home. And this comes back to work-life balance. And the guy's telling his wife, in order for me to sell these multi-million dollar properties and provide private schools for our kid, I have to work these late hours. I got to go to these networking events. I got to stay late in the office. And you watch this in just disbelief. And what ends up happening is you can't turn away from this because each episode gets crazier and crazier and crazier. So if you haven't had a chance, I recommend watching Selling the OC. It's going to be very, very difficult to maybe get through the first 10 minutes of it. But if you could do that, you could actually also learn a few business lessons on it as well. And one of the biggest business lessons I learned watching this show is there are two girls in the office who stick together, and they are the top dogs in the office. And they're also bullies. So what's fascinating about them being bullies is you could tell that all these people on these shows are the same exact people as adults that they were in high school. And I remember talking to my wife about this, and I said, because again, she does early child education development, and I said, what is it called clinically? What's the terminology for people who just can't grow up? And the terminology is actually called arrested development, where you're stuck as a 17-year-old forever. And so that's why you'll see a person who's like 50 years old drinking on that, what's it called there, the jet skis, doing the same crazy thing they would do in high school. And I get it. There's an element of fun you do have to have as an adult, but you could just kind of tell the people who just simply never grew up. And what that's called is simply, it's called arrested development. It's the same person who was doing keg stands in high school. They're doing them at 55, 60, 65 years old. They're not able, their brain is not able to evolve. And I know it's kind of funny and it's also sad at the same time, but that's what I saw watching this show, Selling the OC, where you have these two girls, they're high school bullies. And they're really, really, I don't want to use the word intelligent because there's no way, okay? If you're crazy enough to go on that show, you're not intelligent. I don't care what anybody tries to tell me. But they do know how to play the game. And maybe that's the terminology I want to use. They know how to play the game. So what these two girls do is they cause so much chaos within this office. They get in everybody's business. They start a fight about this guy, Tyler, and how one of the realtors, female realtors, try to make out with Tyler, who is married. They start all this commotion. So what ends up happening is the whole office ends up, all these women end up fighting each other because they pick sides, okay? So they pick sides and they just start fighting. While they're fighting, these two bullies are out in the streets, knocking on doors, meeting with clients, networking, and they're in the office and the two owners walk in and they go, hey, we have an update. And I know some of the people listen to Untangling saying, hey, don't give us any spoilers. I mean, really, spoilers? This isn't the end of Sopranos, okay? This is Selling OC. There's no spoilers. It's a reality TV show. So the two owners come, they go, we have an update. And they give the office an update. And they said, we would like to let the office know we finished at $100 million year to date. And we could add another $20 million to it because, and I don't know any of the characters' names on this show because I don't care to learn it, because these two bullies sold a $20 million house and their commission is going to be $674,000. And he says, will you two come up here and ring the bell? And they ring that bell and don't stop. And the office is outraged. And the reason why that stuck with me is because if you work in a corporation, there are a lot of people calling you, hey, did you hear this? Oh, there was a party last night and this person did. I could honestly say I'm the only person nobody reaches out to in my organization with nonsense. I was sitting with a coworker and a lot happened. You know, this one lady I told you about earlier in this podcast, 20 years with the organization, is about to become, you know, the next VP, being groomed for the position, ends up saying, I quit, okay? And I'm sitting there with my coworker, his phone's going crazy. Not one text to my phone because I'm not part of the nonsense. Okay? What this person leaving has to do with me is nothing. This is a place of business. And I learned long ago to kind of remove myself from the gossip and focus on the work at hand. So for those two bullies in selling at the OCs, that nonsense would never work against me because it's like the stupidest thing you can fall for. And they worked it to perfection. While everybody else in that office was unfocused, they were out there selling a $20 million deal. And again, who knows what's real, what's fake, but I said that's a pretty good lesson to communicate to the audience if anybody was able to catch on to that. So we'll end the show in regards to my daughter's first week of school. And with my daughter's first week of school, it was extremely fascinating to say the least. So we got a chance to go in. And I don't know if anyone else is going through this, but we have to supply the items for all the students in her class. What does that mean? What that means is they give you a list of Kleenex wipes, erasers, markers, bins, paper. So my wife, my daughter, and I, we made a trip to Target, and we simply loaded up on all the items these schools needed. And you saw a lot of other people there with their list as well. And what I find fascinating is America so hard pressed that we really can't supply schools with the tools and supplies they need to help better children and their education? I mean, America is, I always use this saying, I said, America is wild. And for those of you who don't know, today on August 29th, there was supposed to be a NASA launch because apparently we're trying to get back to the moon because the moon's going to be the first stop for us to get to Mars. And they found, I guess, hydrogen on the moon. They're thinking that could lead to some H2O, which can mean, would it be possible to have life on the moon and Mars? So a huge NASA rocket was supposed to lift today. And I want to say it costs probably maybe, let's just say $50 billion, okay, to be on the conservative side. And in Italy, they're building a train that runs in under 2 hours from one part of the country to the other. And I said, see, that's how you spend money, okay, improving infrastructure. Meanwhile, in America, Amtrak from Washington, D.C. to Boston takes 8 hours. And there's no initiative to have a train from D.C., to have a train from D.C. to New York to be under 2 hours, to have a train from D.C. to Boston under 2 hours, to have a train from D.C. to Connecticut to be under an hour and a half. Nobody has those ambitions. Instead, they want to spend $50 billion to send a rocket ship to the moon while my wife and I are using a list in Target to buy all the students' supplies along with every other parent whose child is attending that school. So we clearly don't have our priorities straight here in this country. No politician wants to run on this because why run on these main subjects and issues when you can run on reality TV where you make fun of your opponent, you say they are something they're not, you say they did something they didn't, and then they got to get on TV and get you back. And then people watch to see who was able to diss who the hardest. And for those of you who grew up on hip-hop, we actually grew up with this stuff. It's called diss tracks. And that's what politics is now. It's a diss track, okay? And we all know how it ended with Tupac and Biggie. Are we going down that road? Absolutely. But it's just on a higher scale because, you know, our democracy is at risk. So we are able to do that. Got a chance to meet the teacher. Saw my daughter's school, parents, their kids. It was a good time. But that following week, I was giving my daughter a ride to school because my wife and I, we switch off, pick up, drop off, depending on the day. It was my day to do drop off. And I get to the top of the street and it's a school zone. So it's simply stop what you're doing, focus, okay? Two hands on the steering wheel. I see an ambulance, fire trucks, EMS, everywhere, okay? And there is a kid who is being put on a gurney to be put into the ambulance. And I asked my daughter, I'm like, and, you know, he was up, but he was holding his leg, so he was clearly hurt. I'm like, do you know him? And my daughter's like, yeah, he's in the third grade. And it was just one of those mornings where it was just kind of tough to watch. So I dropped my daughter off, and we find out that the kid was actually hit by a car. Because the other thing that's happening in America is with the addiction of cell phones, the addictions of TikTok videos and Instagram reels, people are so focused that they can no longer pay attention in a school zone. So on the second day of school, a kid was hit by a car because they say the driver wasn't paying attention. And people are going to say the driver's excuse is going to be the sun was, you know, in his eyes. But I went on the Nextdoor app, and the Nextdoor app, for those of you who don't know, it's a local community app where you simply just find out what's going on in the neighborhood. It's Facebook without all the nonsense, okay? And somebody posted, while I was driving in that exact direction at that exact time, there was no sun. And so you start to see some pushback. And I'm sitting there saying, are cell phones so important that in a school zone, people literally cannot put their cell phone down to focus to ensure that they don't kill an innocent child trying to get to school? Like, that's how broken we are as a society. I could never in my life in 100 years picture a text, picture a video, picture a message that is so important that I was willing to lose all focus in a school zone and hit a kid. So I talked to my daughter, an email, a letter went out to everybody in the school. I said, you know, what are your thoughts in regards to what we saw this morning? And, you know, she said she just felt bad because she always sees him around school. He's just such a good kid. And when my daughter and I saw him, he was clearly in a lot of pain. A few days went by. The good news is, you know, he's doing a lot better. So we got an update on how he was doing. And last I heard, he is back in school. So wanted to share that with the Untangling audience in regards to what I've been up to, what's been going on in my life. And there's just so much to untangle with such little time. So hope you enjoyed tonight's episode. And we'll leave it off with football is back. An interesting fact, and a lot of people don't know this. The only way we know this is if you listen to this podcast. And that fact is, based on data analytics, they're saying that the Chicago Bears roster is worse than the 0-16 Detroit Lions roster. So if you are a betting person, I highly recommend whatever they're giving the Bears. I want to say it's 5 wins, take the under. Because they're saying this is the worst roster maybe in NFL history. Another interesting fact is, I did download the Caesars app. So what I do is I start off with a balance of $100 and I'll bet $20 here and there. So my first bet was going to be Nebraska playing Northwestern in Dublin. Northwestern was plus 12. So when Northwestern was getting 12. And I've always followed Northwestern. They have a solid coach who I personally feel is an NFL coach. What he's been able to do with this program, it's unbelievable. And sometimes it just goes under the radar in regards to how good of a program Northwestern is with the talent that they're able to get. And it's really, really hard to get that talent. And so with Caesars app, because I live in Illinois, there is a rule. You cannot bet on any college football games in your state that are, you know, connected to your state, University of Illinois, Northwestern, you name it, Illinois State, to name a few. So I said, okay, whatever. So I took the Wolfpack, and I want to say the Wolfpack was minus 8 or 9 points to, I want to say they were playing New Mexico State. And I followed the Wolfpack for a number of years. I said, this game's not going to be close. Long story short, I did end up winning that bet, easy money. So the season is off to a great start. But I will close the show with this, and I shared this with a few of my friends. I did get a chance to hear Nick Saban give an interview. He was on Colin Cowherd. Colin Cowherd is a sports announcer, famous Vegas guy. I started listening to him when he was in Las Vegas before he made it big. Always been a big fan of Colin Cowherd. Now he is, you could argue, global. And so Colin has Nick Saban on, and he says, Nick, out of all the college coaches, you're the only one at your age who's willing to get on a plane at 65 years old or older and still do recruiting. And Colin Cowherd said, Nick, why is that? With your money, with your fame, with your championship, why are you still recruiting? I know coaches who are under 50 years old who refuse to get on a plane or a bus to go recruit. And Nick Saban and Colin Cowherd said, Nick, is it your West Virginia upbringing? Is it what you went through as a kid? What is it? And Nick Saban said, you know, Colin, something I learned a very, very, very long time ago is you can never make a bad player great. So I recruit because I look for the greatest players in this country. And with that, that concludes the show. Have a good one, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your week.
All I can ever be to you is the darkness that we know and this regret I got accustomed to. Once it was the ride when we were at our height, waiting for you in the hotel at night. I knew I had him at my match, but every moment we get snatched. I don't know why I got so attached. It's my responsibility, and you don't own nothing to me but to walk away. I have no capacity. He walks away, the sun goes down. He takes the day, but I'm grown. And in your way, in this blue shade, my tears dry on their own. I don't understand, why do I stress the man when there's so many at hand. We could have never had it all. We had to hit a wall. So this is inevitable withdrawal. Even if I stop wanting you, that perspective pushes through. I'll be some next man's other woman. So I can't play myself again. I should just be my own best friend. I fuck myself in the head with stupid man. He walks away. The sun goes down. Yeah.